Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today I am thrilled that we have the one and only Mark Klein from Haunting Tales Ghost Tour in Lexington, Virginia. Since 1996, Mark has been captivating audiences with spine-tingling yet family-friendly ghost tours that take you on a journey through the darkened streets and alleys of Lexington and through where we are right now, the historic Oak Grove Memorial Cemetery. These tours, rich in local legends and Civil War history, offer a blend of eerie storytelling, humor, and even a touch of illusion. Today, we'll delve into the hauntingly fascinating world of ghost tours, hear about Mark's inspirations, and get a glimpse of what makes this tour so special. So if you're looking for something fun and spooky to do this fall, you'll definitely want to stick around for this. So welcome to the show, Mark. It's great to have you on today.
Good being here. So everybody come out and do the ghost tour. Thanks for having me on the show. Goodbye.
As you can tell, Mark is quite the entertainer.
And busy.
And very busy. So,
but I agreed to sit down with you for, what, an hour? Are we going to do this for an hour?
We're going to see how it goes.
All right. Do you think they won't get tired of me for an hour? I mean, this is a long time. They don't get tired of you for an hour, do they?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I mean, they can put that in the comments if they want. It's a free country, but...
All right.
So far, we just keep growing and have listeners all over the world. And I appreciate that, by the way. I want to say thank you for doing that and sharing this with friends, because I can see that is happening and it means the world. So thank you for that. I'd like to start, if you can tell us, Mark, a little bit about how you got started with ghost tours. And before I say that or ask you, you answer that question. I understand you got inspired on your honeymoon with a Jack the Ripper tour in London, and then somehow that sparked into doing this. So I would love if you can walk through that story with us.
Well, you got to keep in mind, this was my honeymoon. So there were other romantic things going on then. So we're not going to get into the details, I had to literally sneak out of the bed and breakfast at about midnight. We had just done the Jack the Ripper tour.
Yeah.
And of course, I can't go to sleep. I'm just thinking about this as an entertainer. I'm thinking about doing some type of thing here in Lexington. And back in those days, ghost tours were relatively new. Mm. There weren't a lot of them out there, but it just stuck in my brain. So I walked down the stairs, and I was on my way out, but the door was locked from the inside. And now the people that hosted the bed and breakfast, I went right past their door, and I was on the creepy on the floor, and it was like making the creaks. And I was trying not to wake anybody up, and I was like, man, I can't be locked up in here. I got to get out. This is me. I got to get out and find out what's going on. I literally opened up the second story window and crawled down the drain pipe.
You were determined.
Yes, just like just like Renfield and Dracula. In fact, I was in that play. I was in a play here in the States playing Renfield.
So
I felt right at home, because you know that actually happened in London, about 20 miles north of London. Dracula did. So, I mean, I was all inspired. You can only imagine. I'm walking through the streets of London. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to London, but it's a big city, but they roll up their sidewalks at about 9 o'clock. I don't know if they still do.
I have not been there, so I don't know.
It's not like New York City.
Okay.
So I'm walking through these back streets and back alleys of this tour, retracing my footsteps through Whitechapel. And that was eerie enough. Mm-hmm. But I found myself in front of, I was in front of Buckingham Palace, and I was about 2 a.m, I was reciting the lines from Dracula, you know, I want blood, I want the blood, you know, like, and then I didn't occur to me until the two Bobbies walked up to me and said, what's going on with you? And I said, I'm an American, like that was going to save me. Yeah, I'm an American. I'm practicing lines for a play I'm doing back in the States. I'm doing Dracula. Oh, okay, an American. That explains everything. Okay, carry on. Can you imagine saying that now after 9/11, you know?
Right.
But
Bobby a policeman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I was putting two and two together. I was just confirming.
Well, I got back and you know, coming down the drain pipe was easy. Mm-hmm. Going up it was, I had a few more attempts. I was not going to go knock on these people's door at 2 a.m. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of how it started. I got back to Lexington and went over to the local library and mm-hmm. picked up a book called The Gentle Ghosts, just to see if there was any other ghost research done here. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, there was. There was a book called The Gentle Ghosts. And I checked the book out and saw several of the interesting stories, and there was lots of them, but that alone doesn't make a tour. So I had to go over to the visitor center, and they have these little maps, you know, of the town for mm-hmm. visitors to get. And I basically connected the dots up, thought, okay, well, this story works here, this story works here, this story works here. And I connected the dots and made a little tour out of it. Mm. And there were some other stories that were just a little bit too far out, but we made a... and when I say me, my wife and I, and we put this thing together and said, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
So, you know,
why not?
Well, I mean, we put out some, this is before the internet. Okay.
Oh yeah. This is 28 years.
Right.
So you told me.
Yeah. We've been doing this for 28 years.
Yeah.
So we made up these brochures and put out some posters, and the ghost tour, is officially open. What do we have to lose? I didn't have to pay rent.
Right.
So, you know, a few brochures out there, and the very first night. Now, I didn't do it the very first night. I'd hired another guy, another entertainer, an actor, and I was almost too nervous to show up. I wouldn't have thought that. Well, it's different being on stage, but it's different when you do something like, you know, starting your own business or doing an endeavor, and you're mm-hmm. just, you know, how is this going to work? It's just, you know, you still get the butterflies. So I just sent somebody out, and then we called him up. Well, how did you do? You know, I was expecting, maybe, you know, nobody showed up. 11 people showed up to do the ghost tour.
That's great.
And that was very inspiring. And then so that's when the ghost tour sort of kicked off. And when we first opened, we were doing it 7 nights a week. Then we decided we needed a break, so we were doing it Sunday. We cut out Sunday nights, and we were doing it 6 nights a week for, gosh, probably 18 or 19 years. And then we cut it back. A lot's changed.
Yeah, I think primarily weekends now, right? May through early November.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that, laughers. Get the story here today, but also when we drop this, they're going to have some Halloween ghost tours and a couple in like November 1st and 2nd, I think.
Yeah, and we do it and we do it all summer long. So, you know, next year if you don't make it this year,
that's exactly
then next year you can certainly check us out.
Yeah. Lexington is steeped in Civil War history. What role does the history play in the stories and atmosphere of your ghost tours?
Well, we are actually right here behind where Stonewall Jackson was originally buried.
That's cool.
Right here in this little fenced-in area. In fact, there's other members of his family. After he died, they added other members of his family there. You might say this is where Stonewall Jackson and the original Jackson 5 were buried. but they're not here anymore, okay? They moved them, and I'm going to get into that in a little while. But okay. But Lee also moved here after the war. Mm-hmm. Jackson lived here before the war, and we go right up to his house. Mm-hmm. And I do a little talking there. And by the way, the Stonewall Jackson house is open for tours.
Oh, that's good to know.
And the first time I ever did that, I was in the fourth grade, which, by the way, I was recently in contact with my fourth grade teacher through email.
I knew there was going to be something right after that.
I'm taking her to lunch tomorrow. I'm gonna finally give her that apple. Well, maybe applesauce, but anyway, that was the first time I was ever in Lexington.
Yeah.
And I remember going through the Stonewall Jackson house, and I remember going through the cemetery. It was a spring day. Everything was green like it is now. And it was just, little did I know that I'd actually be doing tours here. But there's so much history just in this cemetery. There was a governor buried here. There's so many other, anytime you see one of these iron crosses, and right now we can look around and see several of them right here.
Absolutely.
Okay, it says CSA. That's somebody that had something to do with the Confederacy. Just to our left, right over here, this is where Thomas Jackson, Stonewall Jackson's first wife, was buried.
Okay.
And she died during childbirth. Mm. And this was a very, very sad time in their lives. It was a very sad time. But and she died, and the baby boy died also. Wow. So anyway, so we talk a lot about, I'm mixing some of the history with this and make it an all round entertaining tour, and then throw in some allusions also.
I know. Do you give those away during this interview, or do we have to come to
the illusions? What I can tell you about that is that the power of suggestion is a very strong thing. Mm. Look, you're doing a ghost tour,
right?
And you're inside of a cemetery. You're in a cemetery at night. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this is different than a graveyard. I don't know if you knew the difference.
What is the difference?
Oh, you don't know?
I mean. No.
Okay, so before this interview, before to now, you never knew that there was a difference between a graveyard. You never questioned it.
I never did, no.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. If you give me an answer and you're close, I will give you a prize. It's very simple. Just try anything.
Difference?
Think about it.
A graveyard, maybe flat headstones. It's a graveyard.
Not quite. Listen, let me throw more of an incentive here. If you get the answer, I'll give you another chance. If you get if you get the answer halfway right, I'll give you a free burial. Tonight only.
Well, thank you for that.
Maybe I should just give you half. I'll give you half the burial. Well, how about that?
What could be the difference? Okay. I feel like this is a
cemetery is still accepting applications, and a graveyard is no vacancies.
Oh, really?
So, and we actually go into both of them on this tour. So this is a cemetery.
So there's still room.
There's still room for you. You can proudly say that you can brag that you were buried near Stonewall Jackson. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you'd brag to because you'd be dead, but.
I'm not looking to have that happen anytime soon, though, Mark. So
well, that's good. But anyway, yeah, so there's a lot I have to offer this tour. It's more like you know, it's history, comedy, it's the illusions, mm-hmm. it's street theater.
I'm getting that.
Anybody that's ever done any other ghost tours, sometimes it's like, wow, this is like, and I leave with a real positive message. Mm. Okay, so this tour is not really about death. It's about life. It's about the laughter. There's a lot of laughter on this tour, and as you well know. Laughter is really all about the healing.
It really is. It's the best medicine in the world.
It's been proven to heal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has been. So I wouldn't be doing this tour for 28 years if I didn't enjoy doing that and then knowing that it spreads joy to others.
Yeah, and I'm thankful that you do that. Do you play a particular character on the tour, or do you change characters?
Well, I do play my favorite character.
Okay.
Mark Klein. But I do wear a top hat. I do dress for the part.
Okay. You look like you're in the 1800s or something. Is that a kind of outfit?
Yeah.
Victorian era?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you got to, you know, I've done some of these other tours.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go out and I don't care what it is. Anytime I'm in a different town, I'll do a ghost tour. I'll do a caverns tour. I'll do a house tour, whatever. And a lot of times I'm doing it just to, I want to learn about the place, but I also want to see how these other guides
So you're not like putting on the tour. You were experiencing.
Yeah, right.
So
I'm a customer.
You're doing some recon.
Right.
Yeah.
And I learn a lot about how to do tours by watching how other people do them and how not to do a tour. Because some people just memorize stuff. And you know what? Look, it's like I can find a guide anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I do have people that come out sometimes and fill in for me when I can't make it. But entertainers are hard to find, and that's mm-hmm. what I try to promote with this tour is the entertainment factor. Because, you know, people are coming to different towns and they're looking for things to do.
Mm-hmm.
What are they looking for? They're looking to be entertained.
Yes.
Whether it's
comedy, or
they like going to the drive-in theater or the music. Mm-hmm. We got Limekiln Theater here. It might just be going to a restaurant and people they like are shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But they're coming here to fulfill something and they're coming here to be entertained.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I offer them, an alternative to that type of a daytime thing. So looking for something to do at night, this is what we do.
I am so curious about this recon you do and taking all the tours when you travel yourself. Are there some things you noticed on other tours that you really like that you now incorporate in yours?
Well, I do like how I'll notice that people, okay, being in theater yourself,
mm-hmm.
it's the connection with the people.
Absolutely,
okay?
100%.
And I'll notice that a lot of people, they don't understand how important that is,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so when someone, when I see another guide and they understand how this works, I'll tip them. I mean, I'll tip them good. Now I'll tip a bad guide too. I understand what it's like. All right. but you can stand back and see how other people react to that. The ones that do that really are into it, they'll get the biggest tips.
Mm, I see.
You know, but I don't do it for that. But it's just interesting to notice that it's just interesting to see how that works.
Yeah. What do you think keeps people coming back every year to yours or keep coming back for more?
It's different.
Okay.
Different
for different people, reason why?
Okay, first of all, you cut the cloth to fit the pattern in this. When you're on stage, mm-hmm. when you're doing a show, you can do a joke,
yep.
and it's great that night, and everybody's laughing and rolling, and you're the next night, you're getting ready for that, and nobody laughs. Why? Well, audiences are different animals.
And in comedy, we call it reading the room.
Okay, you're right, right. Yeah. And I'll have some tours that are all adults.
Mm.
And so there are certain jokes that I can tell that they'll understand. And if they're older people, we've got a house here we call the Munster House, mm-hmm. which looks a lot like the one from the TV show The Munsters.
Right.
So if the people are old enough, I'll pull out I'll do a Herman Munster impersonation for them. Eddie, don't be late for school, Eddie. Goody. Hey, Hyman, I got an idiot for a son-in-law. So there's the monsters for you there. But you do it for somebody under 30, they're not going to get it. There's no point in doing it. And the jokes, the things that I told back 30 years ago when I was starting to tour 28 years ago are totally irrelevant now. So I have to constantly change and update things. Plus, if I have a tour that has a lot of children on the tour, I focus a lot on the kids.
That's wonderful.
Because
the parents will love that.
The parents are really into that.
Yeah.
Now, guess what? I've done this tour and we've had kids, and there have been some stodgy people that have been on there and they don't like kids. They're going to leave me a bad review. But mm-hmm. I don't care because kids are people too.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You and I were kids once, weren't
Absolutely.
We? Okay. And we know what it's like. And that magic and the wonder. And you want to involve the kids because they're the next generation
mm-hmm.
Coming up to you. You want to inspire them as much as you can because they're going to be the next generation of the healers.
Healers.
And you want them to be inspired. If they don't have any inspiration, who's going to look out for us when we get older?
That's exactly right.
Who's going to wipe our hineys? So I got selfish reasons here. Come to my ghost tour so you can wipe my hiney.
You're sure to be entertained on these tours, Leffers. That's for sure. How do you select and train guides for the tours when you can't do it? What does that process look like? And what abilities are you looking for in them?
Usually they people will come to me. And they'll come to me, and it's not like you can just. It's hard to find the right person mm-hmm. to come out and do this. You really have to vet people and just feel it out.
Mm-hmm.
I had this one guy came out, and he said, "Well, I'm a public speaker. I've done this before. I know what it's like to be in front of a group of people." He was horrible.
Really?
Yeah, just because he's a public speaker.
Right.
Didn't make him a good entertainer.
Right.
And then we're always on the move too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing about this tour. It's like, I'm not going to say what town it was in, but it was another town in Virginia, and they have a real popular ghost tour. I went out on the ghost tour, and I was bored to tears because granted, they had several ghost tour guides.
Okay.
So I might have gotten the bad one or one that wasn't that.
An off night.
Right, an off night or something. So I understand all that. It's not worth me sitting down writing a bad review because this one guy. But let's say for instance, now we're here, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is what this guy did. We're standing, me and the group are standing in this one spot. Mm-hmm. He points to this house and he says, well, this is what happened over at this house, blah, 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 blah. He's talking for about 6 or 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's standing in one spot. Now, if you do my tour, I'm all over the place.
I can believe Laffers. Can you?
Nothing's sacred. Everything's a stage to me.
Right.
So I'll move around and I'll jump and I'll go up to people and I'll talk to them and point things out to them. But this guy, then when he was done with that one, he started talking about, he didn't go anywhere. He stayed in that same spot and he pointed now over at this house. I was like, oh my God.
But they didn't even move.
I was like, no, this is another 6 or 7 minutes. But now, here's the icing on the cake. And now over at this house, I was like 21, 23 minutes. Wow. We're there in one spot and it's hot and you got to move. This is how, it's again, a theater. It's theatrics. And it all boils down to that. People want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even if it's just a history tour. When I say just a history tour, I mentioned earlier, I throw all these other things in it. It's a mix.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, my tour is a lesson to be learned. It's not about death at all. My tour is about life. It's about the healing. And I end with a very positive note. Mm-hmm. And what I end with is, I tell people, I tell them, if you forget every story that I told you tonight, that's not going to hurt my feelings because I already got paid. No. Oh, no.
Wait. Is that the positive note?
No. Seriously. This is what the positive note is. As we go through this wonderful experience called life, we're all going to experience a lot of death.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing because, folks, without death, there is no life. And that's exactly what I had the great pleasure of sharing with all you wonderful people tonight. I'm Mark Klein. You just did the best tour I could possibly give you.
And people
clap for that because now they're realizing, wait a minute, this tour, they're leaving feeling good about themselves.
That's right.
Okay. It's not just, okay, you did the ghost tour. This is this how these people lived and died. And this is how these people lived and died. That's the end of the tour. Thank you. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to leave people with something that they can productive they can take home with them.
I love that. It's really great. Yeah, like the ghost tours that I've been on, I like taking ghost tours, by the way. I find them very fascinating. And I'm accustomed to the guide will take you to a location and tell you the ghost story at that location. And then you move on to the next location and they tell you the ghost story at that next house or next spot on the tour.
What I will do with all the stories also, I connect them all together with that ending.
And
just shows how we're all interrelated anyway, how we're all connected up anyway.
We are all connected, yeah.
Look, you and I are sitting here talking in this cemetery.
Yes.
Well, guess what? Years from now, since we can still be buried here, we might be...
Here, Laffers.
But you look at this, you look at these people over here.
Right.
And you think, okay, just picked out one tombstone. I did this right when we were setting up. And I looked at this one guy and he was a Texan. Mm-hmm. And he was a prisoner at Mir. And I never knew this.
Is that a place here?
It was a prison down in Texas, I believe. I think it was. I tried to Google it, but I didn't have my glasses. I'm still in denial, okay? Anyway, so I'm going to pull. But anyway, but then he was also a soldier in the war here, the war between the states. And I'm thinking, okay, when's the last time somebody actually stood there and read his stone? I mean, what about his loves and his joys and
the things and
we're surrounded by all these people and who were they? They were us.
Mm-hmm.
These people were us.
We all share in our humanity. I say that.
And here we are. We're all we're in the middle right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, when we leave. What's going to be important that we've left behind? people aren't going to remember us. I mean, not hundreds of years from now. I mean, they might remember several years into the future. And if we've done something that they put us down in the history books for, yeah. But even then, the history books write, they write about that person, and they don't get to the in-depth of that person's...
The layers.
The layers, right.
Every one of us has so many layers.
Right.
Yeah, the complexity of being a human is quite extraordinary. I love that you bring that touch to it. We're just in this place in time.
Yeah, and we had to pick a cemetery to do this in, right?
Yes, I wanted the nice backdrop. We're doing an episode on ghost tours, so come on, Mark.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And we're recording right here at Oak Grove Cemetery, one of the stops on the tour. Can you tell us a little bit more or give us a peek into what will happen when they come on the ghost tour and we stop here in this cemetery?
Well, first of all, we come into the cemetery, and after everybody enters through the gate, I congratulate everyone because by that time it's dark and they had just broken the law. We break the law every night. We do the ghost tour.
Law-breaking laughers, every one of you that gets a ticket to this tour.
Well, I'll tell you what. Listen, if anybody wants to do this tour, if the group's big enough and the cops come after us, we'll all just scatter. They can't possibly catch us all. Plus, it's a small town, so I don't think they have enough jail cells for us anyway. But they actually like us coming in. The police like us coming in because, you know, all this meanness that's been going on, you know, with the Civil War stuff and all that. And there's this statue of Stonewall Jackson back here. And every now and again, there is some vandalism. So we're just extra sets of eyes as we walk through here.
If you see anything.
Right. Yes. Now, every now and again, like it's close to Halloween time. And I will tell you, we saw him last. I didn't see him, but the group saw him. There was a guy that dresses up, walks through the cemetery as Robert E. Lee.
Really? I think you mentioned that to me on the phone.
Okay.
And he does this once a year.
About every, around Halloween time, he comes out. And the last group, last Saturday, I took about 30-some, but I did two tours, but the biggest group was about 30-some people, which, by the way, they're usually never that big, because I like...
I'm just going to ask that.
I like smaller groups, but it's that time of year. But anyway, and they saw this... They said it was Lee, and I said, look, he's not my guy. He walks around, and but here's the thing. And then I started thinking, well, is it a guy in a costume? Maybe it's Robert E. Lee. I mean, I've never gone up to the guy. You know, I just tell my people, I say, well, just don't give him any money.
No one's ever spoke to him.
He doesn't. He keeps a distance.
Okay, is it 20, 30 feet away? Or farther when you see him.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, something like that.
How many years has this guy showed up on the
Several years. At least 5 or 6 years they've noticed it. But see, right over here.
So you can't tell if he's aged or not because he's so far away.
Yeah, right. I don't get up close to him. I got a job. I'm doing a job. Okay.
I hear you, Mark. I hear you.
So, but see, the thing is the tradition or the legend or whatever is that Robert E. Lee comes to visit Jackson here at his...
Right behind us.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there are some Mort Kunstler paintings of Lee standing there, a painting of... he was a famous artist, Civil War artist. And this is the same fence that was here back in when they buried... Jackson, and there's a painting of Lee standing there with his hat off, looking down in there. But now, again, the history is that they moved Jackson. He's not here anymore. They moved him and his family back in 1891.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Where did they move him to? Did you say?
They moved them. The Daughters of the Confederacy raised the money to buy the plot.
Okay,
and then they built the statue to him.
So
he's been not too far. It's just maybe about 50 yards, but they took him and the rest of his family over there, and they reinterred them there, and that's where we do something right in front of Jackson's tomb. I do I'm not going to call it a seance.
Okay.
Because people have a problem with that.
All right.
So I tell everybody, we're on a ghost tour. I'm going to have a spirit connect through one of you. And listen, we do something in front of And let me just say that if you came out on this tour, it would amaze you.
Okay.
There's a couple things that happen in this cemetery as we go through it.
Right.
But this is the precipice of the tour. This is where we, I should say the highlight. And then we finish and we go on back down to the visitor center and end with the ending that I just told you. But it's about an hour and a half. Sometimes with a larger group, it might be a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
What's the cost of the tour? I think you have that on your website. Yes, you do.
It's on the website. It's $15 for adults. It's $10 for kids. And I think it's pretty reasonable. I know that some of these other places, like in Savannah and Charleston, places like they charge $45.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been on one that's cost that much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so much has gone up over time and recently, in recent mm-hmm. years. But I'm trying to keep the price at a reasonable rate, so that as many people can enjoy it as possible.
Because it's about the healing. You do it through May, from May through early November. Does it change throughout the months? Do you focus on different things? Or is it, I mean, I know you change it over time, so it stays current.
Well, let me add that
during the season, does it change?
Well, other than the heat, I mean, it can be. Look, I don't wear this in the middle of summer because at nighttime it can still be very humid. But no, it's pretty much the same tour. Except I did want to mention also that we do private tours.
Oh, good. Okay.
So,
does there have to be a minimum number of people?
Yeah. Well, it has to be a minimum of at least 10 adults or $150.
Okay.
So it's like you can bring two people out and it's going to be $150. But then if beyond the 10 people that we add more, it costs, you know. But I will say that I will not take out one person. I used to take out one person, but I don't anymore. And the reason is that me and my wife agreed that it would be. You know, we're living in an age, sadly, that, you know, if I'm out there and there's a young woman or even a young man or anybody, somebody could say something and you know what, I have no defense.
There's not a second.
Right. So I'm always taking. So we thought that was a pretty wise thing to do. And so you'd have to have at least two people.
I think that's smart. It's safety.
Yeah.
Safety first, always.
I hadn't mentioned anything about safety, but yes, we strategically get people across the road. We have a way that we do this that's safe.
Across the road, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
When people cross over,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to the other side.
Oh.
Of the road. There's a lot of innuendos, out your windows, whatever. We want to make sure they get across to the other side.
Yeah.
Safely.
And how do you do that?
Well, if it's a big group, we sort of line up on the sidewalk sort of as a, like, we don't go single file,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if somebody straggles and they get hit by a car, I'm just going to have to add them to the tour.
Right.
And that's another promise I make to them. I'm going to give you the best tour I can give you. And if you get hit by a car, you're going to be a permanent part of the tour. And then there's so many people that live in just this area that don't realize that we do it all summer long. I have had so many people come up and say, oh, you're getting ready to start the tours. And I'm just like, well, I do it all summer. Oh,
yeah,
we didn't know that. And it's like,
exciting
okay.
to find that out. Actually.
And then like, how long have you lived here? Well, all my life. And you've never done my tour. Nope. Well, maybe you can pencil me in the next 28 years.
Get it done sometime, right?
But do you know that's funny because if something's in your neighborhood,
yes,
a lot of times you don't do it.
Yeah, it's.
I'll do it sometime. I'll do it sometime.
Right.
We've had people come here from out toward Arizona where the Grand Canyon is, like maybe mm-hmm. a half hour from the Grand Canyon. Have never seen the Grand Canyon, but they're coming over here to see Natural Bridge.
That's amazing. I get it, though. We have Massanutten Resort in our backyard, 20 minutes from my house. And I have done a few podcast episodes with them, reminding me that I should go there more often. You know, so I get it. You have the attractions in your hometown. It's not as, it feels not as sexy, I guess. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to point out.
Uh-oh.
I want to point out.
We're pointing.
We have a mausoleum behind us, too.
I know. We actually tried to set up in front of there, but the light wasn't as great for us today for that.
That mausoleum, we tried to look into it earlier today, but but our lights weren't bright enough. But you come on my tour, once in a while, we'll look in there. You can see five coffins still in there. All right. Mm. It's the tomb of Hayden and Gillum. It has their names. Yeah, it sounds more like a law firm, doesn't it?
Yeah, okay, but it's anyway, like, who are they?
It's, these guys had something to do with the Confederacy because you see the Iron Crosses in front of their, right there. I don't know if you can pick them up.
Does it mean that they were soldiers or generals?
Well, yeah, pretty much. And, here's the thing. You can look in there and see the five coffins.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started this tour, the one on the left, okay, they're on shelves. There's basically, there's a bottom level. There's two coffins down there. And they're all of them are starting to go. But anyway, and then there's two right in front of you. And the one on the left is it's totally decimated. When I first started the tour, it was still intact.
And how did it just over time, just, it wore away?
Well, yes. And then there's one up on an upper shelf. Well, here's the thing. These guys were buried above ground. And there's we looked through the grate so we could see in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? Well, back in those days, people were, a lot of times, were accidentally buried alive. So this was an insurance policy. These guys had a few extra dollars, so they, you know.
People check on them and make sure
that
they are.
Right. And that way, if they were accidentally buried alive, they could get up out of their coffins and walk over. That great.
That must have been.
And yell out, you know, like, hey, we're here, we're here. Like, whoever was walking to the cemetery at that time was going to drop everything they were doing and rush on over. It's been over 150 some years. I don't think they're getting up. But before that, they would, some of these other, the poorer people would have a bell. You've heard of that, right?
I've heard of that.
But did you know that's where the expression saved by the bell came from?
Yes, I actually learned
It wasn't an 80s TV show. yes, it was. But that's not where it came from. But, right. And Dead Ringer.
Oh, that too.
Yeah. So these are facts that you'll learn on the tour as you go through, and the difference between a graveyard and a cemetery. So that's which we've already explored.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would be so freaky. I totally get it. I'd want a bell too, in case they were wrong and I wasn't gone yet.
Can you imagine walking through the cemetery, walking through lots of people had bells and it was a windy day. Like, wait, he's, I swear, he was, no, wait, I don't know which one.
That's the apocalypse.
And the one guy that was really alive, he was like, oh, really?
That would be so crazy. I'm glad they had a system, though, just in case.
Yeah.
Safety
now they
first.
Can just bury you. Now they just bury you with a cell phone. Or a beeper.
You tell a lot of ghost stories, Mark. I am wondering, have you had any personal paranormal experiences over the 28 years or experiences that made you question, is that really a ghost?
Okay.
Can you tell us some of those stories?
Let me tell you, I will tell you this. I do a ghost tour. So for me to, and I don't patronize anybody. I don't ask you. And what I do is I ask people if they believe in the possibility of ghosts. Now, I don't ask them if they actually believe in ghosts, the possibility of. That's more like lawyer talk. Okay. But
I think you would have made a good one of
but
those,
that's,
too.
That's broader. that's broader. So people, they believe in the possibility of ghosts. Yeah. So I explore from there.
Yeah.
Why do people see ghosts to begin with? Okay, well, let's just say, there was research done that said that 50% of Americans believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
50%. So there's 50% that don't.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a religious thing or whatever. I don't go there. Mm-hmm. Okay. But let's just say, for the people that believe in ghosts, there are explanations. I always say, look for the explanation first. Don't just say, oh, the house is old, so it's got to be haunted. I heard a creak going on up in the... No, no.
Old houses will have creaks no matter what.
So just look for logic first, always, and weed through all that, because there was an experience that happened to me in Gettysburg that I struggle with. And I will tell you that in a minute. But... In the lab now, there's been zero evidence that ghosts exist.
In the lab,
science. In the science lab. There's no evidence that, you know, and there's so much out there now. There's ways to test stuff. I mean, people come in with their little meters and things like that, but that's not, you know, but here's, people might grieve so much. They grieve so much that they want to believe that they see somebody walking around the corner and that was granddad, or they smell the tobacco pipe. The pipe tobacco, they still feel like he's in the room. Let's just say medicines. Somebody changes their medicine. Now you're on a different medicine, and it changes the way your brain works. Mm-hmm. So you might believe you see something. How about that little space in the morning when you wake up, when you wake up between the time you're sleeping and you're not sure if you're dreaming or awake.
Yes.
There's a name for that. But that's when this thing happened to me, and I was in Gettysburg. Mm-hmm.
You were waking up.
Yeah, I was just waiting. But logic. See, I'm a logical guy. So logic was kicking in. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, first of all, I'm at this place called the Farnsworth House. Mm-hmm. And everybody, oh, this is the most haunted house. And I'm going like, yeah, right. It's haunted. Okay. Yeah. Well, me and a friend of mine from Virginia Beach, who I build haunted houses for, ironically.
He does so many things, Flappers.
Yeah. I build haunted houses. Okay. I also own a theme park. I also build giants.
That'll be a different episode, okay. Laughers.
But
stay tuned.
Hey, Google my name if you don't believe me. Mark Klein, MarkClinE. By the way, I'm not the serial killer Mark Klein, if you get onto that. But
he does have a Wikipedia page too.
Does that make me important? I don't know. But anyway, so what happened was nobody was staying in this room. It was in the middle of February. Nobody was staying there. So we stayed. But the owner said, oh, this is haunted. And I'm like, yeah, okay, haunted. All right. So about 6 in the morning, and it was dark. I'm laying there, and I'm hearing the word. I'm hearing a child say, Mommy. So now I'm waking up. Okay, so okay. I'm waking up. So I'm like, my logic is immediately kicking in, thinking, okay, I'm not quite awake. But then I hear it again. Mommy. Well, I'm awake this time. You know, the first time I could explain it. The second time I was like, I know. Now, I'm not thinking there's a ghost in there. I'm thinking there's a child that walked into the room. Mm. So I'm saying, Jim.
A living being.
Yes. I'm saying, Jim, did you hear that? And he was laying over there. And he said, no, I didn't hear anything. And I was hoping that it would go again. But I'm reaching out trying to touch a child. And I'm like, so I walk up over to the, I make my way over to the door, turn on the light, and the door's locked. You know, I'm like, and there's nobody in there. So
is it locked before? Or is that
We had locked the door then. Yeah, okay, we'd locked the door. But, you know, and I'm, or Jim had done it. But anyway, I don't remember locking the door. But anyway, but nobody was in the room. Now, I found out later that there was a small child that got run over by a carriage in front of that place. And he even has a name, because I've been to the Farnsworth House since. But I found this out during my ghost tour. People from Gettysburg were telling me about this. And about a year later, they said a little boy got run over by a wagon in front of the carriage, wagon, whatever. So I'm sure there's some fact to that.
Yeah.
But now, whether it's this little boy's spirit, I will honestly tell you, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It could be. I'm not saying that there aren't ghosts, but I'm just saying look for logic first and that it hasn't been proven in a lab. Mm. But now... I do like, people love to believe in the beyond.
Yeah.
This is us as humans, because we're explorers. Humans are explorers. So we want to see what's beyond there. That's why we walk through a field to a mountain to see what's on top of the mountain. On the other side of the mountain, there's an ocean. There's a log floating in the ocean. Well, if we grab onto that ocean, we can float somewhere. But if we turn it into a boat, we can go across that ocean. If we go across that ocean, we find another piece of land. And then at some point, we can build a train to go across that land. Yeah. And then another point, it's like, okay, well, now we're looking into the sky. We can go into the sky.
And planes and spaceships.
Right. It all starts with our curiosity.
And imagination.
And imagination. And this is who we are as humans.
Sense of adventure.
But we still, no matter how much, you know, there are more photos of Bigfoot, flying saucers, and the Loch Ness Monster 90 years ago than there are now. And yet everybody has a phone with a camera on it. Can you explain?
No.
Okay. But still, but still 50% of people believe that there are the ghosts. And people still go out and hunt for the Loch Ness Monster because they want to believe.
And looking for Bigfoot. I actually know somebody who says they saw Bigfoot. That's kind of crazy. I should do a podcast interview with that person.
Well, maybe they saw...
Laffers, if you want to hear that story, let me know and say so in the comments.
Okay, I will tell you. At my dinosaur park, we do have a battle with Bigfoot 5 times a day. It's a water battle. Maybe that's what they saw. And it's the real Bigfoot, too. You couldn't hire a teenager. I had to get the real Bigfoot to come out. At the end of the day, he zips on a human outfit.
Illusion.
We're having some fun here, aren't we?
We are having some fun. I'm enjoying this so much. You're a very dynamic creative, as you can hear a little bit of that right now.
Yeah, just be glad you're not married to me. My wife says, "Oh, they get you in small doses, Mark."
She's got you in big doses every day. That's hilarious. But one of your talents includes fiberglass art. In fact, Laffers, if you saw the episode Dinosaur Land, because we have a dinosaur land, he has a dinosaur park, but there's another dinosaur land in Winchester. That was episode 190. And behind us was the epic battle of two dinosaurs. I asked you on the phone, did you create that? And I believe you said yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you go to Dinosaur Land and see the epic battle. Mark here created those, but I believe you created more creatures in that Dinosaur Land. Is that correct?
Yeah, there were several more. I probably got about maybe 10 dinosaurs there. See, that place was a big inspiration to me when I was a child. Mm-hmm. Because we used to go there. And back in those days, there weren't any Busch Gardens or King's Dominions or, you know, anything like that. Disneyland opened in 1955. And that was just a few years before I was born. So these things were starting to kind of develop. But when you went on road trips, you went to the roadside attractions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I remember in the station wagon. And I remember one time, it was one particular evening, and my dad and I were, it was just us, and we stopped by there. And I begged him. I said, "Dad, let's stop and take a look here." Well, my dad was a great man, but he was not the Andy Griffith type of dad. He was like, "Oh, well, look, come on, listen, we got to get home." He was always in a hurry to get back. You know, always in a hurry to get back. But for some reason, I convinced him to stop.
Got it.
And we walked over there, and we looked through the fence. And maybe that's why he stopped, because he knew it was closed and didn't have to pay the 50 cents to get in.
50 cents. Yeah, that's We'd what, love that that's today.
What it was. Oh, yeah. But I remember standing there, and I was to his left. And I was looking up at him, and I said, "You know, Dad," I said, "I'm going to build these when I grow up." And the words that he said to me just really resonated. He said, "If that's what you want to do, son, there's nothing that can stop you except you." And there was a moment that I realized that nothing is, anytime a child asks you something, it's that the question is not unimportant to them. Mm-hmm. And so when I take kids out on my ghost tour, I'm my dad,
the
you know,
sense of wonderment, you know? And empowerment.
So
that's what I love about that story, is he empowered you to dream and imagine and believe that it was possible.
And there's lots of moments like that.
Yeah.
My fourth grade teacher tomorrow, when I take her out,
the one you're going to give an apple to finally?
She took me in, and she put me in a slow learning class. Mm-hmm. And she took me aside because I have ADHD real bad. Surprise, surprise.
Shocker.
But I couldn't keep up with the other academics. So I was put in a slow learning class. But she showed me how to do paper mache. Mm-hmm. She showed me how to work with wood. She showed me how to do a few things.
So patient with you.
You know, you fast forward at 40 years later, and I'm doing a big art show down in Roanoke. And this woman comes up to me. It was called the Barnum of the Blue Ridge. And there was 400 people there that I was getting ready to address. And it had broken all attendance records. This woman walks up and she says, "Do you know who I am?" I says, "Yes, you're Mrs. Berry, my fourth grade teacher."
That's awesome.
And she was the one that inspired me to. But I learned that compassion is what measures us as humans. Mm-hmm. Because in that slow learning class, other kids were getting kind of picked on and all that. I learned how to stick up for them when we got into junior high school and learned how to divert the bully's attention. So I learned the art of misdirection. So I learned the art of illusion.
Yeah.
You know, so all this is, all this comes back around.
Yeah.
And it becomes the total sum of who you are now. But it's us now. It's our jobs as the grownups to recognize it's our responsibility for not only the children, but for everybody. And the healing thing, anybody can do it. You don't have to be an entertainer. You don't have to be a great artist or an entertainer.
Anybody can do it. In their own personality.
It's so simple.
And style.
And it's not a religious thing.
Yeah.
It's not a religious thing I'm talking about.
I understand.
But we can all do this.
The capability to connect with other people and make a difference, really. Yeah, which is.
Are we still doing a ghost talk about the ghosts here?
We got into life philosophy.
Yeah, but think about it. This is what it's about: life and death.
Yeah,
and it's all the living that we do in between that really matters. What we do as humans.
Yeah, how would you say that aspect of you, the fiberglass artist, plays a part in the ghost tours at all, or does it?
It's a whole separate entity, but the personality is still there in every piece that I do. It's the humor in every piece. So, I mean, I've got lots of jobs, and
yes, you do.
The fiberglass stuff.
I don't know how you do it all, but
it's all drug free too. but this is my high. You see, this is my high, and there's this certain. Adrenaline but we talked earlier about the most important job, which was being parents.
My favorite job and all.
Oh, absolutely, nothing compares to it.
Love my son. Best job ever, unpaid.
and we still get along with our kids. I mean,
absolutely.
Really. I mean,
very tight.
And you know, it's watching them go through the same things and making the same mistakes, and it's like you want to jump in and live their life for them a little bit, but you got to back
pull
away.
Out.
But
so
this
they can
is all
have their own life and build their own legacy and have those moments where they're connecting with other people and empowering them. Absolutely, from their own life experiences, both the successes and the failures. It's like failures are okay. They're a learning opportunity.
Yeah. Well, you might say I'm a very successful failure. And which brings me to another question. If you set out, if your goal is to become a failure and you're successful at it, what does it make you? Let's not go there. We're getting too deep now.
Well, now we want to know the answer to that question, don't you, laughers?
Google it, for Christ's sake. I don't have the answer to that one.
He's going to keep us on a hang on that one. Well, we've got Halloween approaching right now. Do you do anything special during the week to heighten the experience for your guests because it is Halloween?
Not particularly.
Okay.
We used to here at the dinosaur park. We used to do some stuff there. Mm-hmm. I feel that just the experience about being out here, going through the cemetery. I mean, people don't normally walk through a cemetery at night.
No.
Okay.
I definitely don't have that on my list of nighttime activities.
I think people come through here because a lot of times they feel it's safe. If they want to get scared, they'll go to a haunted house. I'm going to a haunted woods tonight. But I tell people at the beginning of the tour, that I don't have anybody hiding behind the tombstone getting ready to jump out at you to scare you. No rubber masks. Nothing up here is fake. Everything up here is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute. That didn't go over too good. Everything real. I don't know. Okay. The guy that does Lee, he comes out every now and again, and it is a college town. So, I mean, if somebody does jump out from behind a tombstone, I mean, they think they're helping my tour. They're really not, because people are coming in here. They want to feel, if they go to a haunted house, they want that. If they come here, they want to feel safer. But you know what? I haven't looked at the calendar. I don't think the full moon's going to be out this Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a little bit dreary, okay, or if it's a little bit windy, you know, I tell people don't charge any extra for the special effects. We just throw those in.
Nature's effects. I love that. Ghost tours often rely on that atmosphere. And how do you go ahead?
You know, and I'm sorry. And it's always different. My tour is always different.
That was kind of the question, how are you creating the perfect mix of spooky and fun and engaging energy for your guests, especially in this historic town during the Halloween season?
Well, I will say that It is a challenge because you have to, again, cut the cloth to fit the pattern. If you have different sizes groups and you have different people in your groups, but also it's changed. I don't know, overall ghost tours, in general, I have my own ghost tour, so I don't get around to do other ones that much because they're usually in the summer. Because a lot of people don't do them up in the north. They don't do them in the winter and all that because it's just too daggone cold.
Yeah.
But I have friends that do ghost tours. But okay. So people that are, let's pick a day. I mean, or an age. 30 years. This tour is 28 years old. Mm-hmm. So people that are 30 years old and younger, a lot of them don't really care about the history too much. They don't really care because they've changed a lot here in town. I mean, what used to be the Stonewall Jackson Memorial Cemetery is now the Oak Grove Cemetery. They changed the Lee Chapel. It's no longer called the Lee Chapel
anymore.
Therefore, now that's wiped out another demographic of people that came here for the history. So we were here when we first got here. We saw a guy in a rebel outfit walking around. I've never seen, I haven't seen that. And was it a guy or was it, maybe it was, it might have been the ghost. I don't know. We didn't go up and talk to him.
We did not.
But
and he did disappear.
Yeah, he's not here anymore. But okay, so almost overnight, I lost two demographics: people that are under 30 that don't really care about the history, and the people that are over 30 that cared about the history, but they wiped it out.
I got you.
So a lot of them are kind of boycotting Lexington. I mean, they're going to go up to, Newmarket, or they're going to go up to Fredericksburg or Gettysburg because they still
on the Union side.
Yeah, they're going to go up there.
Yeah.
But it's a sign of the times and it's the politics of things. But we still do have the statue of Jackson here. And the reason that's not been moved when all these other statues are coming down, would you care to?
Yeah, I mean, guess that one too.
Well, I already gave you the answer earlier.
With the Daughters of
No free burials for this.
Well, shoot. That was the Daughters of the Confederacy group.
Yes, they put it up there because that statue was on private property.
Ah.
So it's not in a public.
It's not a public thing.
So now the only way this can change is if one of the descendants of Jackson comes here and has said, and they have a strong adversity to it being there for whatever reason, or they feel like it's not, it's no longer proper to have it there unless a relative says it's got to go. He has the ability to change all that, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a dark period in our history for sure. I also think we can learn a lot from horrific and dark periods in our history to make the world a better place moving forward.
And changing names of signs and things like that, it's the things still happened. And as we said, but we don't know everything. We don't know every backstory. So we're just as good as the information that we have, and we can speculate all day long. But the fact of the matter is, those things happened. Slavery was wrong.
Yes, I agree 100%.
And it's still going on today, and people don't realize that.
Have a different form of it today. That's not this podcast, but human trafficking is certainly
right.
Slavery today.
And then in other countries, it's bad. Mm-hmm. But I like focusing on, again, the healing.
Yeah,
that's
important.
This is what we do here. This is what this tour is all about. And when I first started it, I wasn't thinking about that. I was just, I was just saying, hey, let's have a ghost tour. Let's make a few bucks and do this and have, do some stuff. But like I said, being 63 years old, I'm still physically able to do this tour. I still enjoy it. And for those of you who haven't done this tour, again, pencil me in the next 28.
I think you should. I want to end with this so they can find you and take the tour. How best can the Laughers follow your ghost tour on social media or otherwise, your website, to get more information, get their tickets, and get over here?
Yeah, you have to buy your tickets in advance. So you can find us on Facebook, of course, and then our website, which is, I always get it wrong, but you have it written down, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Let's see what we
got. I get my own phone number wrong.
GhostTourLexingtonVA.com.
Okay,
that is listen, the website.
You're okay. This is a podcast, right?
Yes.
You're in radio. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know to repeat
pseudo
it.
Radio.
You know to repeat it more than once because now the person's out there running to scramble to get their ink pen. So let's give them a couple more seconds to find that ink pen.
Or I'm going to put it in the show notes as well.
Oh yeah.
So in case they're working out or driving.
See, now you got several options and no excuses. Okay, so that number again, Dawn,
is ghosttourlexingtonva.com. ghosttourlexingtonva.com.
And I did that in my radio voice.
I know, he does have a really good radio voice. If you think so too, put that in the comments as well.
Wait a minute, you haven't heard. Hi, this is Casey Kasem on American Top 40.
I love people who can do accents and different characters.
I'm just
like
having
that.
Fun.
Yeah, that's fun. That's why.
Did you have fun?
I had a great time today, and thank you for joining me and sharing with us all things about Haunting Tales, Lexington's Ghost Tour. It truly is a pleasure hanging out with you today and learning all about this and the Oak Grove Cemetery here. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Who are you going to call?
Mark Klein.
Okay. All right.
All right. Before you head out here, laughers, to get more information about all they have to offer, be sure to visit their website again is ghosttourlexingtonva.com. Also, laughers, thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. For those of you who are listening, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to us, I thank you so much for your support. Please continue to follow, subscribe, tell a friend. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the channel. It's under the Funny Womax. You can Google it. You can find us. You know where we're at. And we would love to just continue to grow our family because this is amazing to help the residents in the Shenandoah Valley as well as tourists from all over the world to get more out of their experience here. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you chose us. And we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomax.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.